Welcome to the St. Ninian's Community Church Lent Podcasts. Thank you for listening. Regina Conroy here, and today's scripture reading is John 8, verses 1 to 11, which I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." It is early in the day, and Jesus is again back at the temple, sitting, teaching a crowd that had gathered. Suddenly there is a disturbance, and the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees bring a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery and put her in front of the gathered crowd, saying, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" I find it interesting that the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees addressed Jesus as teacher. In previous passages, there had been much whispering against Jesus. And in John 7, verse 32, it says, "The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things against him. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him." Did the teachers and Pharisees have a sudden change of heart as to who Jesus was and acknowledge him as teacher? Somehow I don't think so. I wonder if they were trying to lull Jesus into a false sense of security and appear to be sincerely seeking his judgment on the woman. Jesus, of course, was fully aware of their true motives. Their motive was basically political entrapment. St. Augustine describes their motive as trying to trap Jesus into a choice between gentleness and righteousness, between mercy and justice. If Jesus pardoned the woman, it would mean they could charge him with going against the law of Moses. If Jesus condemned her, he would be shown as unmerciful, which would likely cause the loss of people's love and respect for him and his teaching. How did Jesus deal with this dilemma? Initially, Jesus made no response, but stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. Was Jesus, by being silent, thinking how to respond to this delicate situation? He would have been aware that the law was being somewhat distorted to suit the purposes of those seeking to discredit him. Mosaic law says both the adulterer and the adulteress must be put to death. This can be found in Leviticus 20, verse 10. Therefore, Jesus knew this was a trap and knew he had to avoid it. Or was he perhaps giving others time to self-reflect? Or was writing in the dust with his finger a reference back to God writing the law with his finger on tablets of stone, that he is, in fact, justice in person? But what if the woman caught in adultery? While all this was going on, she must have been feeling such fear, thinking of the awful punishment ahead of her. Have we ever been in a situation where, having done wrong, we have the consequences to face? What were our thought processes? Were we fearful, resigned, defiant? When I was a teenager, I think I was sometimes quite rebellious. And I've been trying to remember times when I had been doing wrong, got caught, and had to face up to the consequences. One occasion that comes to mind is the time I stayed out later than my parents had instructed. During the time that evening, having fun with my friends, I gave little thought to the consequences of my actions. However, I remember that when walking home, knowing I'd done wrong, I was now anxious about the reception I would receive. I was grounded for a fortnight. But of course, this story deals with a very serious wrongdoing at that time and not the misdemeanors of an errant teenager. The woman must have known that committing adultery was wrongdoing that carried severe punishment. She must have been terrified when she was caught, then taken by the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees and put in front of the crowd. How frightening, how humiliating. We can only imagine. The thought of death by stoning must have been terrifying. Jesus finally stands and speaks, saying, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." This is where the phrase "cast the first stone" is derived. According to Oxford Languages, casting the first stone can be defined as being the first to make an accusation, being quick to blame, criticize, or punish, and also suggests that a potential critic is not wholly blameless. Notice that after being silent for a while, Jesus does not enter into a discussion about the rights and wrongs of the situation, but throws down a challenge to the woman's accusers that whichever one of them was sinless should throw the first stone. Which one of them could do that, believe they were somehow perfect? So each person, knowing they couldn't be the first to throw a stone, slowly, one by one, melted away. It says they slipped away, one by one, beginning with the oldest. Leaving in this order may simply reflect the custom of deferring to the elders. The ones who came to trap Jesus and condemn the woman simply disappeared from the scene, and Jesus had neither gone against the law nor his own message of grace, mercy, and forgiveness. But the woman, how did she feel? Relieved? Puzzled? Intrigued? Did she know of Jesus? Had she heard about him? Then Jesus speaks directly to her. "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" She answers, "No, Lord," recognizing something of his authority. No doubt she was unsure of what would happen next. What would Jesus do? What would he say to her? Jesus replies, saying, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." We can only imagine how she felt, the relief, the gratitude, thankfulness that Jesus was there. In any case, she is a perfect illustration that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus saved the woman from physical harm and granted her redemption, an opportunity to begin a new life. A.W. Tozer says, "Jesus Christ came not to condemn you, but to save you, knowing your name, knowing all about you, knowing your weight right now, knowing your age, knowing what you do, knowing where you live, knowing what you ate for supper and what you will eat for breakfast, where you will sleep tonight, how much your clothing cost, who your parents were. He knows you individually as though there was not another person in the entire world. He died for you as certainly as if you had been the only lost one. He knows the worst about you and is the one who loves you the most." What has spoken to me loudest through this passage is its message of mercy and forgiveness, and that having received these, it is expected that I treat others the same way. Do I judge? Am I sometimes self-righteous? When we stop and consider our own shortcomings, we realize that none of us has the right to throw any stones, let alone the first one. Do I fail to see others as God sees them? I read somewhere that the best exercise one can get is to reach down and lift others up. No one who seeks forgiveness is beyond the love of God and the opportunity to begin a transformed life. Handley C.J. Mull says, "There is no situation so chaotic that God cannot, from that situation, create something that is surpassingly good. He did it at the creation. He did it at the cross. He is doing it today." In the story, people experienced different encounters with Jesus that day. Some of them had intended encountering Jesus for their own purposes of discrediting him, but they left knowing that Jesus had instead somehow discredited them. The woman had a totally unexpected encounter with Jesus, brought about by her own actions and of being used by those wishing to trap Jesus. And she left having experienced love, forgiveness, and the opportunity to live a different life. Our own encounters with Jesus can be intentional and unexpected. Both are wonderful and precious. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you for this story, which reminds us of the blessing of belonging to you, and instead of condemnation, receiving love, understanding, and forgiveness. We ask that you would help us to see all others through your eyes, to be kind, non-judgmental, and forgiving. Lord, let us treasure each encounter with you, whether intentional or unexpected, and be people who encourage others into seeking their own divine encounters with you. Father, be close today to all those who are listening. Grant them health and safety, and bless them with special encounters with you. Thank you, Father, for all you are and all you do, and for the precious gift of our Saviour Jesus. In his holy name, Amen.